On the show today, we have PRIT Credit Union Services' very own Kyle Stutzman and Purity Technologies Robbie Wright talking about how the two have partnered together to give credit unions an agile technology posture, and they explain what all that is and what it entails in this interview. So check it out. Before we get into our interview, I just want to give you a quick heads up on our CU Knowledge Hub page. It is our page that's just loaded with free downloadable content, which includes white papers, webinars, product guides, case studies, industry analysis, and a whole lot more. And it's all provided by experts and vendors within the credit union industry. So go check it out today. That's CU Knowledge Hub. And now on to the interview. Hey everybody, Mike Lawson here with CU Broadcast. Welcome to our show. And on today's program, we have PRIT Credit Union Services' very own Kyle Stutzman. Kyle, how are you, sir? Right there next to me.
Doing great. Coming off a little bit of a break here. It's nice to be back.
Indeed. Back in the swing of things for sure. And then right below us is Mr. Robbie Wright from Purity Technology. Robbie, how are you, sir?
Doing great, Mike.
Good, good, good. Yeah, we were just mentioning our post-Thanksgiving stuff, and you just polished off the last piece of pumpkin pie. So congratulations on that, Robbie.
Thank you.
Well done, well done. Hey, let's talk about something really cool that you guys, both of you guys are involved in here. PRIT, you guys have partnered with Purity Technology to give credit unions an agile technology posture. And Kyle, I'm going to start with you. Give us kind of a lay of the land of agile technology posture. What is it, just for folks out there who may be kind of like me, kind of not up to this, what's this this terminology and some examples of how it works?
Yeah, we're going to keep it pretty simple on this definition, and that the whole goal with an agile technology posture is to be able to adapt, which, if you know what our theme of this year has been for all of our industry, the ability to adapt quickly to what's needed by the business. Now, obviously, the business is used to adapting quickly. We adapt quickly for what our members need. We're making adjustments in our rates. We're doing all these things on the business side. We've kind of left behind the technology conversations, or maybe they just haven't been in the forefront, but business and technology and an active conversation, so that we're able to spin up a new project, that we're able to meet a new member need, we're able to integrate a new system. We're able to do that in an agile way, and in a way that actually gives value right away and gives value over a period of time as we continue to improve it. So sometimes agile means being able to pivot quickly, and sometimes agile means being able to start down a path and give value back to our members and our business right away, and then continue down that path. And I think both of those would fall into the definition that we would think of how credit unions need to have agile technology. This year and going forward, one of the things we're really thinking about is how do we use what we already have? So a lot of the conversation, the reason why Robbie and I talk very frequently, is that credit unions often have a lot of things that they can continue to use, expand on, consolidate, that really help both in ability to be flexible and agile, as well as help from a budget. And, you know, let's be honest, this year and next year, that's part of what every credit union's challenge is how do we get more value out of what we already have or where we're already spending?
Yeah, and we've actually kind of touched on this, you know, a few times over the years, you know, of being agile. And man, like you said, 2020 really put it to the test of being agile and being able to pivot quickly. And people certainly fulfilled that mission. Now, Robbie, so let's get to your part of it here. So how does this posture enable remote staff, allowing them to serve through these crises? I mean, especially in 2020 when we had the crisis of all crises. So so give us the kind of the, not going too deeply into the weeds here, but give us a kind of the lay of the land here from your perspective.
Sure. One of the things that we've kind of found working with lots of credit unions and banks across the nation is Kyle kind of alluded to this already, is a lot of organizations already have some of the tooling available to them to do this and take advantage of some of the work from home and remote workforce type thing, specifically inside of Office 365. Mm-hmm. Some of the functionality with Teams already exists, and where we've seen a lot of kind of areas of opportunity for credit unions is being able to kind of appropriately take advantage of what they already have today, or maybe make a few small kind of tweaks and improvements to the Teams environment or some of the other tools to kind of help get the best value out of it. Mm-hmm. As everybody that's been living through COVID knows, you know, we see lots of ups and downs. I'm in Oregon. We recently are in a new 2-week freeze as of like the end of middle of November into December. And so the state is saying, if you can work at home, you have to. and is really pushing everybody to work at home at the largest extent possible. And so for your tellers and, you know, drive-through staff, that's not always going to be feasible. But lots of back office staff, we've seen that ability to kind of pick up their job and take it home become more important. But the security ramifications of that also become equally important in addition to just the basic collaboration. And so aside from some of the kind of more collaborative working environments, how you overlay some of the security tool sets on top of that remote workforce. You know, I try to shy away from industry buzzwords, but the zero trust environments have become kind of a much hotter topic here in the last 6 to 12 months of really being able to pick up any laptop and work at a Starbucks or work at your house, or really maybe even a hotel if the situation came to it, and have secure connectivity to your member data.
Indeed. And Kyle, you want to add to that? If you...
I mean, I agree with all of it. Well, the exciting part for me has been that credit unions are often already spending their money. I mean, the example he gave around Office 365 or Microsoft 365, they already have licensing. They're already spending money on these resources. But it's not a thing that credit unions have kept up to date, that are, they've had the opportunity to just know. I mean, this is a technology that's changing every 3 to 6 months. They're adding new features. They're changing functions. I mean, we have credit unions that are spending money on things that they said, oh, we moved our exchange off, you know, to Microsoft. We got rid of one server and now our email's out there. Well, there's all kinds of technology that's included in their licensing. There's all kinds of security features that are there. We have large credit unions doing SSO, single sign-on, doing multi-factor, consolidating some of their endpoint security tools, auto-deploying, getting a laptop. When the user signs in, it deploys all the software on it. I mean, the exciting part for us working with Robbie and using some of his resources in the credit union space is just that we're able to take something that a credit union is already spending money on and really expand it and use it. And then they get rid of other tools that they're, you know, that overlap or they're paying extra for, or they get new features they didn't know were there, or, you know, single sign-on. I have love it as an end user. Like, we're using Zoom, I think, for this. If I don't have to sign into Zoom again, if I don't have to log into, we have some other HubSpot and other tools we're using. It's the same way in the credit union space. If you have, you know, one login you can use, that's extremely useful. And you get into remote workplace and other where you're not able to just help a user as easily. Anything you can do to reduce that complication is important. So for me, the exciting part is, we have a tool that already exists that has a whole bunch of features that our industry isn't using. Mm-hmm. And it's a pretty low barrier to just look at that closer and figure out, well, how can I better utilize this? How can I save a little money with the right licensing? Maybe if I spend a little more, it adds 10 times the value and I consolidate things. So Robbie, I know you get excited about it's that part that's really cool, is that we credit unions have something at their fingertips. They just don't even know that's there.
Yeah, to kind of dovetail onto Kyle's comments there in regards to the SSO or single sign-on, as we move more to a distributed workforce, you know, in the old days, you would come into the office and you would access your software securely inside the local network there. But that just isn't the case anymore. Mm-hmm. Is people are working from home and they're working on the road. And how we control access to our applications and thus our member data becomes really important. And when you have that distributed workforce, assuming you've started implementing some of those SSO tools, if somebody were to leave, you know, it's a couple quick clicks and their account is disabled and they no longer can access any of those things. Mm-hmm. You're not having to run around and do a bunch of configuration. Or if a device gets lost, you know, the ability to remote wipe it or remote wipe just a portion of it that may contain your, you know, kind of company information. And all the while, all this stuff is kind of going on to help enable a work from home strategy a little bit more effectively. But on the back end, that's also starting to increase a credit union's cybersecurity maturity, which is where the ASET or the ACAT comes in. It's one of the FFIEC tools that the NCOA uses. And so when we start talking to credit unions from an ACAT perspective, a lot of these conversations may have already started happening as they've started moving to this work from home situation. Yeah. Or the other option is they went into work from home and haven't put any of these tools in place and now are rapidly trying to play catch up in all reality before their next audit and start realizing that they have some problems.
Yeah, I was gonna ask you guys, so how prevalent is this in the industry? But then I think you guys kind of answered the question through your answers. Like, it's pretty darn prevalent now, especially in 2020 with so many folks working from home, that this is a really significant, I want to say issue, but a topic in the industry, right? Kyle, looks like you wanted to respond there.
Yeah, it's not just work from home, but that's part of it. Okay. I mean, it's hard from an example because there's so many. If I start from a really small credit union situation, there's small credit unions right now that are getting rid of all their servers. Like, you know, I've hosted my core and now what do I need to do to manage the rest of my environment? And you look at what can be provided through a Microsoft 365 in the compliance and security, you know, mindset, the way they're configured.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden a file server could be replaced with OneDrive. Your Active Directory could be replaced with Intune, your endpoint protection and the controls for GPOs that use all these things that are more complex that small credit unions either have minimal management of or rely on a part-time employee or a local provider. There's ways that they can get rid of all of their server infrastructure, or, you know, maybe only have one server on site. We've seen some oddities in our industry with, like, you know, instant issue debit cards or something that is a little complicated, or that has to be hosted and, you know, maybe in the cloud. But there's a lot of things that can be done at the small institutions. And then you get into larger ones and it's middle and larger size. I mean, whole phone systems are being replaced by some of these tools. So we talk about that team thing. It's a chat tool. It's good for remote use. Well, all of a sudden it can actually have a phone attached to it. It can have a phone plan. You can have a call center add-on. It's just amazing to me what's happened in the last 5 years. From when it was this whole big transition of let's deal with Exchange to mm-hmm. now we have a whole suite of solutions. And like I said, credit unions are dipping their toes in the water still, or they haven't kept up with what's changed. Every 3 to 6 months, there's these new releases and things have expanded. I wouldn't have used, you know, some of these services when I was leading a credit union 10 years ago. I would use the Exchange side, but that's changed drastically because they're actually mature and you can count on them, and they truly can replace set, you know, services that we have in our shops, or they supplement it, especially in the mid and large size. It's really enhancing security without adding a bunch of additional tools and without adding a bunch of additional costs, right. Which is always the best trifecta when you can reduce complexity, save money, and also improve, you know, cost and the value to the business.
Yeah, because there's so many technologies out there where you buy like a whole suite of something, a whole package, and then, but you never really, you only use maybe 20% of it, and the rest of the bells and whistles are just kind of sitting there by the wayside, taking up space and that type of stuff. So is this kind of the lesson learned here, is that, you know, when you're purchasing these technology or when you're looking at acquiring these technologies, let's use it more efficiently or more effectively. Let's only, I don't know, I guess, buy what we need, I guess, basically, is what I'm looking at. Is that what we're looking at here, Robbie?
Yeah, another good kind of analogy that I've seen is it's like buying a car but never doing any of the preventative maintenance on it and never changing your oil. Is a lot of people go out and buy some of these tools but never really kind of feed and nurture it. And even, you know, Purity and Pure IT fall prey to this too, is we'll buy a piece of software and use 20% of it. Oh, and yeah. It can do all this other stuff. But this kind of the challenge of the implementation starts to go up as you start using more of that tool, mm-hmm. and both, you know, being critical of ourselves and also seeing it a lot in community financial institutions. Really, it's almost more challenging to invest in the tool and the implementation of the tool rather than the tool. Sometimes it's really easy just to go buy whatever it is, mm-hmm. but using it properly is where we see a lot of the challenges. Like if you wanted to buy a scalpel, that doesn't make you a surgeon. You have to go to school and, you know, figure out how to use it and deploy those things right. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of one of the gaps that we see, is really in that implementation, training, usage, is a lot of the tools are getting purchased, but they're just not being used to their fullest extent.
Yeah. That's me with Photoshop. I can use maybe about 5% of it.
Yep.
I'm really dangerous with Photoshop, so be careful.
Yep.
So what do we expect in 2021? Obviously this seems like it's, like you said, Kyle, it's going to mature more. And I think people are going to be able to use technology in a wiser fashion, I'm assuming. Is that what we're looking at for 2021?
Well, you mentioned learn our lesson. I think it's relearning and re-practicing a lesson we already know, is that there's going to be a lot in 2021. We already have credit unions talking about their updating their roadmaps, taking a look at what they're needing to deploy, looking at their tool sets and evaluating what actually serves my needs. I mean, mentioned Photoshop, a car was mentioned. I mean, the best car example we have is maybe Tesla that actually gives new features through software updates.
Yeah.
So when you have tool sets that actually do mature and do add new features, it does take a time. We have to stop and reevaluate what it can do. Is it mature enough? And how does it fit into the larger architecture that I have? I mean, part of what we're looking at for 2021 is not just, am I using my tools in the best way, but how are they interconnected? How are they sharing data? Some of those common themes are being relooked at and accelerated by the challenges we're experiencing. We're not just putting them at the wayside. We're saying, okay, well, now's the opportunity to really say, I have this data. How can I use it better? I have these systems. If they don't integrate, that's not going to work for me. I'm going to change tool sets to actually make sure that I can have consistent workflows, consistent data being flowing between them. And that's where, you know, you look at suites of products when implemented correctly and when securely, can be really powerful.
Oh yeah.
No problem. For my personal opinion, I think where we are going to see a divergence in ROA for credit unions is credit unions that have a strong data analytics background and a strong integration background between all of their applications. And so that might be single sign-on with Azure and, you know, something else. But really, how all the tools they have today either work together or don't work together. Mm-hmm. You know, ROA is being compressed. Everybody's kind of having a tough financial time and kind of reading the tea leaves for what 2021 is going to bring. And, you know, are we going to have more interest margin compression? Are we going to have some non-interest income ability to be able to increase some fees? But again, from my perspective and having numerous conversations with lots of community financial institutions, both banks and credit unions, I think those with higher ROA are going to have some resources dedicated to data analytics and on that integration layer so that they can get the most value out of the tools. Yeah. And they've started to recognize that they can get a lot of value out of the data they have just in member information.
Yeah. So this is going to be a big deal in 2021, I think. Yeah. So just based on what you guys have said and what I've seen out there already. So good stuff, guys. Anything else to wrap up here? I mean, this is a extremely timely topic as we're basically a month away from 2021, and who knows what's in store for us next year, but anything else to add, guys, here to wrap up, Kyle?
No, I think you hit it on the nose that 2021 and 2022, I think, are going to be pretty challenging years. I think our success in the tail end of 2020 and what we do to set up 2021 is really going to dictate what happens in 2022.
Agreed.
Post all of this coverage or COVID items. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's a pretty critical time in the next 3 to 12 months of how we start making some of those preparations for the future.
Yep, indeed. Kyle?
I'm optimistic because the people I'm talking to and the credit unions we're working with are not sitting back and waiting to see what happens. They're taking action. They're looking at what could happen, but not in a fearful manner. They're looking at what could happen so they can make adjustments, so they can lead their institutions, so they can lead their communities and make an impact. So I'm pretty optimistic about what's coming, not because I expect it to be this great year, but because of who I see is taking a leadership role around our industry and in each of the institutions we're working in. Obviously, we're biased that technology, security, data are all going to play key parts in that, but those are trends we see, that those are going to be key parts of what enable these leaders to make a difference for their members.
And they'll be more agile than ever, for sure. All right, guys, I'll wrap it up with that. So thank you so much. Appreciate the time as always. Great information. Timely stuff. So can't wait to post this one out there so folks can check it out and give you guys a call if they have any questions. That'll be fun. All right.
Sounds great.
Thanks, Mike.
Well done, gentlemen. Good job. Thank you very much.